There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Live local talk over the next hour and lots to do on the show. I will say this. I was just out in between shows at the conclusion of the morning show. And when this show started, Dalton, it's completely anecdotal, but I think I've seen a marked increase in mask usage. Although, like a friend of mine said the other day, if you're in the truck, just a side note, if you're in your truck by yourself, you've had nobody else in the truck, you're in your truck by yourself and you're still wearing your mask, I got some questions for you. That's the one time, you know, you're by yourself there, you could probably let it go. Also, we talked yesterday about the price of crude and that huge drop in oil. How did it at one point yesterday go to negative $10, negative $30 a barrel for West Texas Intermediate crude? I'm going to get some answers to that coming up later on in this hour. Jay Young joins us. He's talked to us before from the oil and gas world, and we're going to try to figure out what happened and what might happen next with oil prices and when we see something like that show up at the gas pump. Will we be paying under $1 a gallon before this is said and done? We'll talk with him at 12:30 more about that. And I want to start off and lead off on today's show. And it's good to have him back as always. Former senator of the state of Alabama, candidate in the runoff for Senate for the Republican primary, Jeff Sessions joins us now. Thank you for being
here. Hey, Sean, good to be with you.
Hey, good to be with you as well. And, you know, it was last week I was watching you on Tucker Carlson's show, and I was like, wait a second, did I actually get to hear something from you, Senator Sessions, before Tucker Carlson heard it at a discussion of immigration here during the COVID-19 crisis? I enjoyed hearing y'all's conversation about it as well. So thanks for coming back to talk about this more. Now President Trump is talking about this. A lot of people are talking about an idea that you were saying. What? Explain it exactly as people that didn't hear you last week kind of frame this immigration question or this policy.
Well, the United States policy on immigration should be to serve the national interest of America. When I became the chairman in the Senate of the Judiciary Subcommittee on Immigration, I changed the name to Immigration and the National Interest. So what I would say today and what I said last week, we need to put a moratorium on immigration. We have no jobs. Zero. It's like oil below zero. I mean, you know, the day I announced it last Wednesday, they added 5 million more people to the unemployment rolls that day. And so I guess what I believe is, and the president gets this, we have both a danger to our health from bringing in large numbers of people from abroad, and we also don't have work for them. And so we should not welcome them, and he has that ability. And we're not going to end immigration permanently in America, but it's we're certainly not. But it needs to serve our interest, and we need to use common sense, and it's not common sense to bring in more foreign workers when we don't have jobs for the American citizens here now.
Now, I'd say, you know, it's been a whiplash when it comes to unemployment. As, you know, you look back 2 months ago or less, we were looking at the best numbers in decades and decades and decades. Now we're approaching levels we have not seen in decades and decades and decades in unemployment. So you're saying, why have those people come into the country when there are no jobs?
Right. It just... it should serve our interest, and that's what good policy should have. And we don't owe any constitutional right to somebody from whatever country to demand to come to the United States. It's a matter of our pleasure, how many people and that come and under what circumstances. And so right now we need to pause. There's just no doubt about it, in my opinion. And I think the president agrees, and so do most Americans. Like 90% of Americans in one poll some years ago said that if there's a choice between two people to fill a slot, should it go to somebody from abroad or should it go to an American citizen? And, of course, the people believe, first, we owe our loyalty to our people, our country, our constitutional order, defending our borders and the interests of the people within those borders. That's our country. It's not outside of our country. It's in our country. And, of course, we want to be a good world citizen, and we're not going to end immigration in any permanent way. But it's time for us to be, you know, more effective in defending what's good for the country.
Let's get into any kind of projected timeline or benchmarks on this. If we shut this down now, would it be based on a timeline, or would it be based on reaching a certain level for unemployment? How would you set it?
My proposal would have set it on the unemployment level we had before this pandemic occurred, which was under 4% and 3.5%. So I think that's a good number. The president and his economic team will probably consider what the right number is. Congress could be involved in this also. But fundamentally, we need to be having the economy back to a rolling level before we bring in at least workers. We're not, you know, if it's safe, then we can begin to bring in visitors who come for one reason or another that we've always accepted. But if they're coming to take a job, we need to make sure there are jobs available. That's the big deal. And I remember, you know, when I endorsed Trump in Huntsville and the big rally there, we had with us on the stage a group of people from Florida who had worked at Disney in the IT department of Disney, and they basically fired them all. And they got them, had made them train foreign workers. I think most of them were from India, and they trained their Indian replacements and were fired. And they talked about that at that rally. So we're in a point of, well, what about young people that are graduating from college? Maybe they've got student debts. In this environment, where are they going to find a job? We need to be thinking about that. And just the idea, I mean, Tommy Tuberville said in December there were 400,000 workers in India with skills. We needed them all to come over. But that's just, I mean, you got to be careful about this kind of thing. You can't have these dramatic importations of labor. And does that mean we're going to end all the other immigrant workers from anywhere else in the world? So you got to be careful about and responsible about how you handle that. Right now, this country does not have jobs, and we don't need people coming from abroad to take what few jobs may open up.
Now, I wonder, you kind of answered part of it, if you would get the pushback from those people that say, well, we have to have, you know, recessions, we have to have specialized people for this business that can do this, that, or the other, and it might be tech, IT people, some of their skill. We can't find them here, so we need an exemption to this. You can have it for other people, but my business needs an exemption.
Fundamentally, Sean, that's false. That's just not true. We had I had hearings on it in the Senate. Wages hadn't gone up for IT workers in many years. Five experts, several of them had testified before our committee, did an op-ed in which they documented that there was not really a shortage. Now, if you're in Silicon Valley and you don't want to pay higher wages because of high cost of living, then you may want foreign workers. But you're not entitled to demand that. Maybe you should branch out your factory and put a factory in, you know, Utah or Alabama instead of Silicon Valley. But fundamentally, we do are training large numbers of young people, and if they know they're going to get a nice job with a good pay and good benefits, more of them will go into one of these fields that has a high job demand. They will. So that's the first thing we need to do. Now, I'm not saying we should never have foreign workers, and the pretense that somehow these workers are so much better trained and smarter and all geniuses and going to create new programs that save the world is not accurate either. Most of them are just normal people with some sort of training that needs even more training to operate American systems. They also have language problems. So I just think that we need to be careful about it, we're not going to end immigration, and when we do have people come here, we want people with skills and to be able to flourish in America and do well, but right now, we don't have a place for them to go to work, and we need to pause. That's what we need to do, and I really think the president gets it.
All right, yeah, coming right back, more with Jeff Sessions, and I want to talk more about this. Also, the question that he brought up weeks ago here on the show, you know, the true source of the coronavirus of COVID-19, you know, wet markets versus laboratories and the responsibility and the culpability of the Chinese in this. We'll return to our discussion with Jeff Sessions next, right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Our guest, Jeff Sessions. And I want to wrap up on one part of this and then pivot here, Senator. But your call here is an immigration moratorium, and it's based on the unemployment rate, right? When we reach... When would we go back to a normal immigration policy?
Well, first and foremost, we got to give high priority to medical safety. We don't need to be bringing in people who are likely or could possibly have a virus. And secondly, we absolutely need to pause most priority, those who are coming to take jobs. Because we've got to get our people in jobs first. It's important for them psychologically to be working and not being on long-term unemployment. Secondly, when you're not working and you're on then welfare rolls and you got to get the federal benefit from this support plan, then you've got unemployment compensation, Medicaid, Medicare, Medicaid, and other food stamps and other support payments from the government. So we want our people working first. Any rational country would want that to occur, and it's our responsibility to make sure that we wisely allow immigration to occur within our own national interest.
Right. I want to talk about something you mentioned a couple weeks ago on the show that has a lot of people, and they've continued to talk about it, and that is the source of coronavirus or COVID-19 and where, it, first of all, coming from China, but then the question about the wet market versus this laboratory in Wuhan, because there's quite a few stories out today saying that scientists are saying this couldn't have been this virus couldn't have been produced in a laboratory. I mean, you've seen this. What is your response to that?
Well, I think the weight of evidence seems to be that it came from the lab. It wasn't created in the lab. It was part of an examination of bats who have these diseases, and they let it get out. Somebody caught it in the laboratory and went around, and others got it and passed it around. Next thing you know, we have a pandemic in a matter of months. It's unbelievable. I mean, the experts told us that these pandemics could spread around the globe this fast, but I got to say, it never dawned on me just how real that is. Imagine how fast this disease has traveled. It's unbelievable. But the two scientists, Chinese scientists, wrote a paper back in January, I believe, that said it probably started from the lab. They examined the wet market, and they examined the lab, and they said it probably leaked out of the lab. We know our State Department, at least we know our intelligence State Department people who viewed the lab 2 years ago in January of 2018, they concluded the lab was very dangerous. There was a high danger that it could leak out of that lab, and it certainly appears that that is the case. There's other evidence that supports that conclusion. Who knows for sure? What we do know is that in January 1st, China slammed the door on Chinese doctors who were warning about this disease, telling people to take precautions to protect themselves. They made them recant what they had said, made them actually detained them and put some of them in jail, and made them deny what they've been saying and hushed them up. And so we're now, had they acted then at the 1st of January, we would have been we could have been stopped. One study in England said that if this had been known 3 weeks sooner, 95% of the infections may not have occurred. We know the World Health Organization, being advised by China, it appears, told the world in January 14th that the disease was not contagious. And, of course, it's three times as contagious, they say, as the normal flu in the United States. And then when President Trump slammed the door on immigration from China, the WHO healthcare guy declared that that he was wrong, and that was a racist kind of act. So we've got this deal in which the World Health Organization, Dr. Tedros, and China have been covering this up, and it's turned into perhaps the greatest pandemic in our lifetimes, for sure. It appears that one of the greatest medical errors in history occurred when the World Health Organization on January 14th said it's not contagious.
You know, you've said this before. You said last week, too, about holding China responsible for this and exacting some measure of flesh here. And I want to ask you again, like I did last week, how do we do that? I mean, this is, how do you go make China pay for this?
Well, it's conceivable that a plan can be made. Some have some plans to craft a legislation that could allow some liability for the Chinese government. That is, frankly, not easy to do without opening up the right of Somalia to sue the United States.
Right.
And so you got to be careful about these things. But I think that's got possibilities. Secondly, my view is, Sean, and I've been saying this for the last several years, that we've got to reset our relationship with China. We've got to understand that this is a communist government, a communist government. They lie to their own people. They have no hesitation to lie to the world. And when they're caught flat-footed in something, they just deny it. And you accuse them again, and they deny it again and again. And finally, they start attacking you and saying it's your fault, which is just what they tend to do, what communist, atheistic regimes who really don't believe in truth. The only truth they believe in is advancing the communist regime. They're atheistic, and that's what they believe. So we've got to be aware of that whenever we deal with them, and we've got to end every one of the actions that they're now taking to gain advantage over us, taking our secrets, stealing our technology, cheating on trade deals, violating our privacy through hacking systems that they're maybe the world's best at, other than us, at least technologically. And so we've got to be a lot tougher with them. We really do, and protect our interests. And no doubt about it, this leader in China today, Xi, is tougher and more oppressive than the last three. They've crushed religious freedom with a new intensity. They've used technology to gain control of the population. They even have plans to rate people on how cooperative they are with the communist regime, and their future economic prospects will be based on that. So this China's also got an ambition to be the number one world power by 2049, 29 years from now. And 100 years from the founding of the Communist Revolution in China in 1949. That's their openly stated view, and their should not be underestimated in how determined they are to achieve it.
Appreciate your time today. We'll have to get you back on soon. And remind folks, too, even though it's a weird time right now and everything's done, you know, from sheltering in place and staying at home, but you're still in a campaign.
We are, and we're working really hard every day to try to communicate with people on the great issues of the time. I feel like that I'm prepared and ready to lead effectively on the big issues of the day, and I have not sold out to the establishment or the big business or special interests. I remain committed to the values that I was taught and raised with in Alabama that I've displayed throughout my public career, and would be honored to have the support of the American people of Alabama.
Thank you. It is Jeff Sessions joining us here on Midday Mobile. Coming right back, this is somebody who has been on with us before, oil and gas operator, host of the Jay Young Show. His name's Jay Young, to try to help educate me how oil futures went into the negative yesterday and what this means for energy going forward. Oil and gas, Jay Young, our guest, will come right back and do that right here on Midday Mobile. News is next.